Columbus, Benny.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Fred.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's T&R, on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Looking for Rass to come out if they can, if they get possession in the offensive zone.
Snapped in by Marchand. Off goes Rass for the extra attacker. And Marlowe.
How to attack him. Oh, that's interference.
Plekanec on the line left side, fires a score. As Backus got drilled out at center ice.
Patrick Marlowe just took out Backus. Backus was about to make the play.
And there you go. It all comes down to this. 617-779-0985. The Bruins, in a frustrating affair last night, lose 3-1. You just heard the empty netter. Ty Anderson is new to the radio station. He covers the Bruins. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going, oh, fantastic. Can't wait. hopefully the season ends, then we have so much to talk about.
Game sevens are not enjoyable. They're not fun to watch.
No, they're the worst thing in sports. Everyone's like, oh, it's the best. I'm like, nah, it's the worst. I want to throw up for 3 hours. It's great.
It's great. It's physically harmful. I don't think that there was a stretch of time where I felt more abdominal pain than the 2011 run where they went to those three game sevens when the Bruins won the cup. Like, that was not an enjoyable time until, of course, the games were over. And at least they gave us a game seven that, you know, you could relax a little bit when they finally won the cup. That was nice. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a blowout. But these suck. It's no fun. And you're right. It is a myth that everyone loves a game seven.
Well, I didn't even see the comeback in the in regulation against Toronto because I left the bar and walked home.
I remember that. Did you go to the game?
No.
Oh, I thought the game.
He was watching it locally, and then they came back while he was walking home.
Yeah, okay. And then I turned on the TV, and it so happened my wife had been watching the game, and I said, why the hell are they in intermission? And then I realized that they had come back, and I saw overtime. And to that, people like screamed at me for like a month. How could you miss that? Because they were down 3 goals, stupid.
Yeah, the squadrons of people that left TD Garden last night missed it also. That night, missed it too.
Right.
Well, I think there's a real thing with that. Like, people say, like, oh, I was there. There's a 1 in 3 chance that you left that building. That building was not that full when they won that game.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in the Loge, those guys got out of there, like, real quick.
Well, the stories were, I mean, we took calls the whole next morning of people who were trying to get back in. They had left, and once that rally started, there were people who were trying, and of course, people at TD Garden like, nope, sorry, you're screwed. You're out of it. And then they would try to run across the street, go to some place like Sullivan's Tap to try to watch the end of it. And, you know, at that point, you're screwed. You missed it all.
So what is going on here? What are we looking at here?
How did this happen?
Yeah, why are we going into a game seven?
Well, I think you have to look at it sort of just, it's just been Freddie Anderson. I think that's the biggest thing, really. It's just one of those things where it's similar to Braden Holtby in 2012. It's similar to Carey Price in 2014, where you're just seeing a goaltender come in and he's standing on his head. This Toronto team has no business in this series at all. They are one of the worst defensive teams in hockey. They have been all season. Every shot the Bruins are getting is from between the circles. They're prime scoring opportunities, and he's just standing on his head. And I think when that happens, that's when things get dangerous because you don't know what you can really do to combat a hot goaltender. We saw this in 2011 with Tim Thomas against everybody else. We saw this in 2013 with Tuukka, you know, up until game six, really, against Chicago. It's something that's hard to sort of combat and correct. I think that when I look at what the Bruins are doing, everything they're doing is correctable, but you got to limit these mistakes. Like, what happens last night, both those mistakes, both those goals, that can't happen because Anderson's playing so well at the other end.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you think of the changes that they made in the lines yesterday?
I mean, I was okay with it because I went into it thinking, okay, this is going to be a game closer to game four where it's a 2-1 kind of grinds it out kind of game. I don't think everyone's clamoring for Ryan Donato. That's not his kind of game. I think that you're looking, in that instance, you're looking at Wingles, his game four block shots, playing a physical role, 13 minutes. It was efficient. You know, Heinen or Donato, if they get lost in the shuffle, you're now down to 11 forwards. And that's a tough ask when you're on the road, when you get pinned in your own zone with icings and whatever, what have you. That's when those guys can get exposed. So I was okay with Wingles last night. I will say this, game seven, I want Donato in there. I think you need more finishing power on that net. It's just, I've seen enough. I've seen enough shots going off off glass, rebounds going untouched. You got to get some more scoring touch in there.
What's your feeling about Rick Nash? Obviously, he came with a warning label about if he's the guy and you rely on him for scoring, he's going to disappoint you. In the playoffs, he's had more than his fair share of chances. He had two pretty good ones last night, too, and he's, once again, not finishing.
Well, I mean, he's on the third line. They dropped him.
And
it's not
still
a lot of pressure.
No, I understand.
If you're Rick Nash, they're not asking a lot out of you.
Pressure or not pressure, they gave up a first-round draft pick for him, and he's not helping.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that he's done is he's drawn penalties. Besides that, it's been a whole lot of nothing. He's getting scoring chances. That's great. They didn't get him a scoring chance. They got him for burying some goals. So you need that between now and Game 7. I mean, well, you need in Game 7 now. I mean, you've kind of been waiting for this guy to show up here. And, you know, I put it on Nash, too, but I put some of this on Krejci because I think Krejci has looked slower than ever in this postseason. And it's really noticeable against a team like Toronto where you're sitting there going, okay, when is playoff Krejci going to show up? Because that is why he makes his money. That is why he's paid as the highest paid forward on this team. If he's not producing the playoffs, and I know he has points, but he's not changing the game right now.
No, you're absolutely right. He said in the 6 o'clock hour, he looks like he can't move. I mean, he looks incredibly slow. And John's saying it's because Toronto's so fast.
I think that's
he's
part of it.
He's slow. He's always been slow.
That's
and now
my
it's,
point. He's now always been slow. It just looks worse because he's playing against guys that are really quick. He's not the only one that looks slow
out there. I mean, Backus doesn't look like a speedster, but he doesn't look like he's skating in mud.
Backus looks kind of rough some of these shifts.
I don't know. He hits people.
That's right.
Something I mean, Krejci does not do.
He's the only guy that goes in and just tries to fight three people at once.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? What is happening? I mean, he was, you know, I loved what he did in Game 5 where DeBrusque is getting bullied by Roman Polak. And Backus looks at DeBrusque and goes, let's switch. And he goes over and he says something to Polak, just hits him right off the bat. And it's like, that's a tone-setting kind of thing. That's what you want out of Backus.
Right.
I like seeing that. But with Krejci, I need the production.
Yeah, and speaking of production, the first line in their losses have had no points. I mean, they've been completely shut out. How much of that is just, once again, Anderson, as you said, standing on his head, or is there something we're not seeing why they're not delivering?
Well, Pastrnak has hit four posts already. He hit eight all season. 82 games, he had eight posts. He's already hit four in six games now. I mean, it's unbelievable bad luck for him. I think Marchand needs to get a little bit more involved here. It seems like they're all trying to do too much. I watching last night, every breakout, every attempt into the offensive zone, they're trying to go through five guys instead of making the simple plays that made that line so good all season. You know, I can't see that working against a team like Toronto. They're just going to try to block the shot. They're going to get in the lane. They're not like a Tampa Bay Lightning that they want to go skill for skill on their back end. They don't want to do that. They want to just block the shot or get in the way. And they're doing that when you're seeing these between the legs sort of dangles and these one-handed sort of workarounds. Like, you got to do something else. And I think they're just getting away. Maybe they're overthinking things at this point, but they're just not playing how they should be playing right now.
Now, as far as do you believe in the, because like we went down the stats that Tuukka Rask has in Game 7s, and it's obviously not impressive. He's 1-2, and I think it was an 85% save average.
And the one win was to come back against Toronto.
Right. So do you hold any stock in that, in his ability to deliver in Game 7s?
No, I don't, because, well, all right, so the first one came when he was, what, 21 against Philly, right? He was a rookie that was gassed by the end of his first real legit NHL season. The second one was the Toronto one. I mean, they ultimately came back, and he had to make some big saves in overtime and late in regulation to keep that a tie game and keep them close. The Montreal one, that was a terrible series for them. Montreal was kind of similar to Toronto, where they hope for that stretch pass or blow in the zone, and they run on a breakaway. You know, so I think there's something left to be desired with Tuukka. But I think I look at last night, for example, right? People are quick to blame him. He kept that game close for 33 minutes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he made big saves on Kapanen and Matthews late, while the Bruins somehow forgot to shoot a puck in the third period.
Right.
They had two shots on goal 15 minutes into the third period.
Right,
that's
and then
insane.
They have a disgusting power play, and yeah, there was a lot of problems with the Bruins last night. And they score first, and you go, all right, well, that's the difference. You know, here comes the momentum. Toronto's young. They're going to fall apart. And then 30 seconds later, there's the equalizer. So Ty Anderson in studio, 617-779-0985. Get involved, 617-779-0985. I don't like this team in Game 7. I just don't. I just, I don't see it happening.
You're not watching the game beginning to end. You're going to tune in Family Guy for a while, right? You're going to take some, I'll take a break.
No, I'll watch,
I'll watch,
and then if Toronto goes up, I'll turn the channel.
Right.
And then I'll look at my phone.
How about I'll text you if the Bruins go up?
See, now that's a bonus right there.
I'll do that. That way you'll know it's okay to watch.
Rich won't forget to do it. It'll actually happen.
Right, I got to do it. Take some employees.
Yeah, he'll have fun in Salem.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There goes Rask to the bench. Empty net. Leafs get it out at center. To the line. Here's Plekanec. Score! We're going to Boston, baby!
I can't believe my shoulder hurts from throwing to little leaguers.
My doctor actually heard you talking about it and said, give him my number. So if you want the old cortisone shot.
Yeah, I get a cortisone shot at the regular doctor.
I think my dad once blew out his shoulder like swinging a wiffle ball bat. So like playing wiffle ball or something.
Oh,
like
it could be something. So, matter of fact, I fell and I screwed mine up. But when I like jacked it up again, I was at one of those arcades with my kids, and you know they got the clowns that go up, and you throw. It was just throwing a stupid baseball at one of those effing clowns, and for like an entire day, I was in agonizing pain.
I dunked on an 8-foot rim and then hung on it, yes. And then it like totally screwed my shoulder up again.
It's always the stupidest crap
well,
that ends
old.
Up doing it.
I mean, you're old. I mean, you realize how stupid and old you are.
Right, your mortality is your shoulder screaming at you. Hey, you're doing dumb crap.
Or that you have to warm up to play, to throw to little kids.
Right, I know.
Right, Ty Anderson covers the Bruins for the station. 617-779-0985. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Alex?
You know, I just want to pick your brain about Bergeron real quick. Obviously, something's not right. You know, he was out for game four. We don't really know much about that. And obviously, besides the face-offs, which he's been dominating, he's really been a non-factor. So I want to know what you guys, you know, what's been going on with him. What can we look to see in Game 7 from Bergie?
Ty, to me, he seems fine. Like, ever since he's been back, I haven't noticed any. There's been nothing that stood out, but have you seen anything with him?
He's not as dynamic right now, I don't see.
It's the shot. I think the shot, like, I'm used to it being a little bit more accurate. But I can say that about 9 guys on this team.
Yeah.
Like, so I can't tell if that's an injury thing or if that's just, you know, the whole team is saying, we forgot how to shoot a puck today. So I really don't know, but it's. You know, the hit he took that they think it happened on was in Game 3. It didn't look like it was anything that serious.
What
like,
was the hit? Because this is something that's been kind of glossed over.
Panicked like, in the neutral zone, right?
Yeah. He comes right over the attacking blue, and he just hits him, you know, kind of up high. It looks like it's the shoulder almost. I mean, maybe it's an old injury. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it aggravated, you know, perhaps, and that's why he's like this right now. But I think the biggest thing that I'm noticing with Bergeron, he's getting kicked out of almost every faceoff.
Well, yeah. That's infuriating.
That's the worst.
What they're doing during the faceoffs. I mean, just drop the puck. What the hell is right? And I understand the new rules and everything like that, but I mean,
what rule is he breaking?
Well,
why is he getting tied?
Because you can't move.
Well, Beers also insinuated that the Toronto Maple Leafs at the beginning of the series complained, and it's because they bitched to the refs beforehand that they're being extra strict on these faceoffs. That's what Beers insinuated when we talked to him before.
But there's times they're kicking Bergeron out where I don't see what he did.
That's just he doesn't do anything. He just stands there and they're like, all right, you're gone. And he's like, what? Wait, what? How?
Or they'll drop the puck. They'll be the face-off, and then they'll make a decision that he did something
wrong.
Dude,
90% of the time, I can't tell whether they're kicking the guy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But this one, it seems like more than most any series that I can remember. It's been so tough to watch.
17 times now he's been kicked out of face-off, 6 games.
Jeez,
well, he's
man.
Only played 5 games, too. So it's over 3 a game that he's been kicked out of.
Troy, go ahead.
What's going on, guys? Good morning. So, Fred, you said that you messed your shoulder up before dunking on an 8-foot hoop.
8-foot hoop, yes.
You dunked on an 8-foot hoop?
Oh my God, are you crazy? I'm 6'2".
Okay, I've seen the show many times. I'm just saying, when you said that, I was like, I
need 6 inches of not even. I need 2 inches of vertical to dunk on a 6-foot
hoop. You can touch 8 feet.
I can, come damn close. I mean, I honestly...
Just by standing up, couldn't you touch 8 feet? You're 6'2"?
I'm 6'2", and with my arm up in the air.
6'2"?
I'm 6'2".
Wow, you don't look that big sitting down, Fred. That's all. I'm not trying to resolve anything. I'm just saying, ask a question.
I have a very small torso.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
What did you think I was? 4'11"?
That's me. I'm 4'11".
Well, there you go. All right, what's up with McAvoy? McAvoy does not seem right.
But he's skating on one leg right now. You know, I wonder if the knee is 100%. I mean, he is just, he's fighting something. I think... You know, I think he had an incident in one of the opening games in Boston where it looked like he took like a weird spill and he went back to the bench. And yeah, I want to go back and rewatch it because from that point on, it was really kind of noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he hasn't looked good since he's come back, I don't think. You know, I thought it was just a timing issue. And now I'm saying, okay, now I'm concerned. This player does not look like the player that we saw for, you know, 60 games, whatever it was this year. I would have concerns about that because he really is what you have on the right side. I think Kevin Miller's been great. He's fantastic what he does, but... When you're talking about Cassidy's system and you know, defensemen activating, joining the rush, that right side is McAvoy or bust, right? Because you have McQuaid and you have Miller. So you really need him to be playing at his best. And right now, he looks like he's on one leg.
Would you make a change?
No, because I think even 50% of McQuaid is better than Nick Holden.
Not take him entirely out of the lineup, but would you keep him with Chara?
I think you almost have to, because we've seen in the past, right, when they put Miller with Chara or they put McQuaid with Chara, it's a very sort of... You know, it's an immobile sort of unit, and I think in this series you're going to need some quick skaters, or especially in the back end. You know, one guy per pair is probably the way to go. We've seen the way this Toronto team attacks; they just go for that stretch pass. You got to have a guy who's going to be back there. You know, you'd have two guys back there theoretically, but I hate the idea of a pairing like a Miller and a Chari and caught flat-footed in a game seven.
How much of a disappointment is this if they lose in round one?
Massive. Massive. They are, in my opinion, they're the second-best team in the conference behind the Penguins. And I view this sort of as, this was a tough matchup for them in the sense that I really thought that, you know, the first round was going to be the hardest round for them. And they needed to get a good start. They go up 3-1. If you blow this and you lose in seven games on home ice where you've been so good all season, when you've got all the, you know, the Claude mentality sort of out of your system and you are this new team now under Cassidy, this would be a massive step back for them.
Well,
in so many ways.
I'll say one thing, that Bruins commercial mocking Michael Felger might be a little bit of a backfire. If they end up losing this, that's not going to look too good on their part.
That's the best thing that's ever happened to Felger.
Well, I thought, no, I'm just saying it's not going to look too good on the Bruins side.
No, I want them, if I'm Felger, I want them to keep going.
Well, we talked about that. I mean, it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, if you're working at the station, like, oh, that's cool. You know, they actually take the word seriously, but it also doesn't make the Bruins look too good if at the end, well, he was right.
Yeah.
He's like half right and half wrong because, like, DeBrusk has been like the best player in the series, I think.
Yeah,
DeBrusk has
been great. Yeah.
Every shift he gives it his all. He doesn't back down from anybody. You know, going back to the Pollock thing last night, you know, he's laughing at Pollock as he tries to, like, mess with him after the whistle. And it's like, this kid is embracing the moment. He's embracing the challenge. Like, and you want to see that from these kids. It's why, you know, Heinen has been kind of disappointing. You know, you haven't seen him. He's been shying away from contact. He's been shying away from some battles. That's why he didn't play last night. You know, Donato wasn't at his best, I don't think, in his debut. That's why I'm a little hesitant about playing him last night. Granted, I wanted to see him in Game 7, I think, now, to be honest with you. But I do think that these young players, they need to embrace the moment.
Well, he's played in big moments, too. That's one thing you say about Donato. I mean,
yeah.
The guy's been on the biggest stage. You know, he played in the Olympics, so... I mean, it's not like you can knock him for that. I still think it's a good idea in this game to put him in.
You know, part of me says yes because I think you need to do something different because clearly whatever you're doing is not working right now. At the same time, I think you're almost better to sort of ride and die with the guys that got you there. You know, Heinen got you there. You know, do you want to give him one last chance to sort of make an imprint on this season, make an imprint on this series? You know, maybe he scores a big goal there. You never know. It's one of these picky things here where, you know, if a guy can step in and score a big goal, it changes his entire mindset, his entire sort of how he goes about his game. You know, so part of me wants to give that. I will say this. I don't want to see Tommy Wingles on the second line again.
No.
I think that's an experiment that you saw it last night.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not going to be good here in a must win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not exactly a dynamic presence on the second line.
No, and he missed an opportunity. There was, I think it was in the second or first or second period, early in the game, golden chance. Goes right off his stick. You know, he's not a natural scorer. It's
so
going to happen.
Does that mean you put Nash back up on a second line?
I would because I think that, these guys got you here, right? You got to go down swinging. You can't go down afraid of what may or may not happen because this is it. This is your season. You know, you can't really get hung up and, well, if Nash doesn't score in this game, you know, it's truly a bust. It's a bust right now. So you may as well go down swinging, in my opinion. So I liked the Backus-Nash-Nash combo, but... you know, I want to get the, you know, the best lines possible, if you will, the optimal sort of scoring, I guess. And I think that's with Rick Nash on your second line.
All right. Well, Ty Anderson, welcome to the station. We appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And it's going to take you forever to get back because now it is rush hour. All right. okay. Coming up, we have an announcement. Nick is already trying to back out of things and making excuses and things of that nature. And he's raising concerns. We're going to have to kind of talk this through on the air.
That sounds good, because I still don't know all the details. Right. I there's a lot of things I don't know about this. We've made it work in times past.
But there's concerns other than just transportation.
Safety?
No, there's no safety issue.
Okay, all right.
All right, we'll be right back after the headlines. 98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card to celebrate Pay It Forward Day. Take advantage of Dunkin's new go-to offers to make someone else's day brighter. So, we, in the last month, have been introduced to a wonderful man. We've had an opportunity to speak to him twice, kind of bookending a jail stint. And he goes by the name of what?
Elvis Elias?
That would be, I can't find
it. Can we talk sports?
That would be the one and only Codzy.
Yes, Codzy. And so we were thinking about doing another Towny Jeopardy. And then the idea has been to bring Codzy in to take part of it. And at first, Rich was like, I want to do Beer Is Your Buzzer again. And to which I said, do you think Codzy's not going to drink those?
That's why they call me Codzy.
You could microwave it and he'd still drink it.
Sure.
That can't happen. But now there is the issue of getting Codzy in here.
Yeah, it happens. I know where you're going with that. Back off, cowboy.
Now, we have talked to Codzy, or at least in the other room.
Nick, come in here.
Nick has spoken to Codzy. So on Thursday, we will have a Towny Jeopardy. We still have to figure out who our other two contestants are going to be.
Bird and the kid with Everett.
The Everett tattoo?
It's
really all about Codzy. So,
Nick, there are issues with Codzy, though. Okay. Codzy lives in Salem, and then he raised a concern to you.
Did you speak to Codzy yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you spoke to Codzy.
All right. So Codzy raised a concern with you.
Did he immediately know who you were, by the way, when you called?
I had to tell him, like, twice. Okay.
All right. All right.
So what was Codzy's concern?
Well, he was concerned because he wasn't sure if he would be drunk or not.
Well, isn't that up to him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just up to him. And then transportation, obviously.
Okay, well, transportation.
But he said he was boring if he wasn't drunk.
Yeah, he was boring if he showed up here sober, he would not be.
I'll take Codzy any way I can get him.
No, when you talked to Codzy, was he drunk?
Yes.
Okay. And so what time of day was that?
About 3 o'clock.
Okay, so he calls in here in the morning at like 8 a.m. and he's drunk. Then you talk to him at 3 o'clock and he's drunk. So I'm going to guess the chances of Codzy being drunk at any part of the day are about 99%.
Well, that's why they call me Codzy.
Like, if he's answering the phone, Codzy's probably inebriated.
He's drunk.
Okay.
He was drunk.
So on Thursday, he's game for coming in studio to do Towny Jeopardy.
Yeah, I'm going to touch base with him after the show today once we, you know, figure out all the logistics and stuff.
Okay. I would have, so now the plan is, as of right now, you're going to be the one who picks him up?
I thought it was Bird.
Is Bird's here on Thursdays?
Yeah. Well, I would take his shift.
Bird's here on Thursdays, so Bird could be the guy who's responsible for picking up. After all, he's on the clock.
And Bird lives closer, too.
Bird was going to get him, sorry to interrupt, but if he was to get him before the show, he does live closer in order to get up to Salem and maybe get him back.
I mean, he wouldn't even have to get him before the show. He'd get him while he's on the clock, while he's getting paid. Because that seems to be a big issue when it comes to calling me.
Don't ask for anything. Nothing before 6, Fred.
Right, so how about this? At 6 o'clock, he can go and go get Codzy, and he'll get paid for every second he's in that car.
I called you this morning.
Hang on.
You did.
I don't think that if he leaves here at 6 and goes to Salem and comes back, he's going to be here in time.
No.
Like, he's going to have to...
Okay, then he can look at his commute, and then if he gets to Codzy by 6, then he's on the clock.
No, yeah, what I'm saying is that, right, he is going to have to leave straight from home in Everett before he comes and get caught.
No. I'm just saying at 6 o'clock he starts getting paid.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. But, so but he doesn't come here first.
No.
You're going to Salem and then coming back down at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock. It's going to take him an hour and a half at least.
Salem is the biggest pain in the ass to get to and from.
Very difficult.
Because there's no like highway that goes right towards Salem. You got to take all these off-roads, these side roads. So, yeah, I would say that he just picks him up, brings him in. Now, do you you have Kodzie's number?
Yeah.
Can you get him up right now?
Okay.
Yeah. See if Kodzie's there. We need to go over some details. Now he's just go ahead and do that. I take it he's aware that he's going to be part of Towny Jeopardy. He's going to be part of the game show.
I'm not sure how much information he retains.
Coin flip.
No,
I'm not.
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't.
I mean, he's got legal issues.
I think that's very questionable.
Over the wires.
Yeah.
Well said, Kodzie. But Kodzie's there's no responsibility for him to get drunk. There's none at all.
No, I don't even expect that. I just want Kodzie in
but
here.
But Kodzie was
he
worried.
Said he said he wanted to come in, so we're taking him up on it.
I just like that he's worried about not being drunk. Like usually it'd be the other way around.
Right. It's like
gotta
I
make sure
coffee.
You looked
can
at
we
the world.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Like if you were going on a radio show, usually you would be like I don't want to be drunk. But Kodzie's like, I gotta be drunk.
Right.
The chances of Kodzie answering the phone, by the way, are none.
I don't know. He calls us around this time during the show.
He's called twice.
Yeah, but I mean, once was just the other day.
Uh-huh.
The other times he was in jail. The whole break was because he was in jail, remember?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Kodzie didn't answer the phone.
It went to voicemail. What's his voicemail sound like?
We can't play it.
This is just, question, though.
I know you can't play it, but is it just like a bunch of numbers that failed to get pressed?
It's like, all right, leave it back.
There's a lot of
Kodzie, go. Yeah.
It's Kodzie.
Buy, sell.
Time for you, Jack.
So that's the deal.
We could call him an Uber.
No, that's not going to work.
It's also better if a bird or Nick is there. That way we can ask them questions about the ride. Although we might not get
what kind of house
responses.
Does Kodzie live in?
Remember, there was a time that Bird picked somebody up to bring them here to the station at Lansdowne Street and ended up dropping him off in Revere.
Oh, yeah. That was Rock and Roll Mike.
Well, yeah.
He
said, hey, can you take me to Revere? Bird was like, sure, it doesn't matter. I'm on the clock. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the clock. He's getting paid. There's nothing wrong with that. He goes, he just pops over there to Salem from Everett and brings him on in.
We, for a moment, were considering having, because, you know, last time we had Kodzie on, Rock and Roll Mike called it, and the two of them together. Kodzie was so out there that it normalized Rock and Roll Mike.
Well, Rock and Roll Mike stopped acting like Rock and Roll Mike.
He was just like, hey, man.
It's okay.
What's going on?
Yeah, but Rock and Roll Mike became confused. Right, and dropped the whole Rock and Roll Mike persona.
Kodzie's like, you're going to try to outweird me? Not going to happen. Rock and Roll Mike's like, cool, man, you win. I'll just kind of stay back here and take the L.
All right, Ricky Rocket, formerly Poison. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I do Uber. I can just pick him up and get him there for free. I live in Salem anyway, so.
I don't think we can do that.
I don't think we can
legally.
Do that, yeah.
I appreciate it, but that's a
great offer.
I think legally that might be iffy territory.
Someone says if you rely on Bird to pick up Kodzie, you're not going to see Kodzie. No, he'll get it done. He's done it before in the past. I still remember the time that we had Love 22. Love 22 we got from Providence, but he needed to stay overnight in a hotel, but he could only stay in a hotel in which the numbers added up to 22.
Yeah.
Like we had to make sure there was a room, and he had to be on the second floor, and the numbers had to add up to 22.
Perfect sense.
Of course it was.
Love 22 is probably getting around fine. His life has got no problems. That crippling OCD. I'm sure life is just is peaches.
Oh, you know, someone actually had a pretty good idea. You know, you could have, this is actually not a bad idea to have as one of the contestants on Towny Jeopardy.
My name is Mark Chimel.
Nick's dad.
That's who Nick can pick up on the way in. Nick can get him on
Nick's
the way
dad,
in.
Kodzie.
Oh, boy.
Nick's dad, Kodzie.
And Bird.
What if Kodzie comes in and he's like 21?
We were going to have a contest. Like, we were all going to try to draw what we think Kanzi looks like.
Yeah.
And do, like, an artist rendition and then see who was closest when he finally gets here. Because he could, it could go either way. Like, he could be a one or a zero. Like, he's...
That's what I was... he's either 90 pounds or 300 pounds.
Yeah, one or the other. I'm thinking he is Gunner-esque. Like, he's going to be, like, 90 pounds.
I think if you drink, like, to that degree, you're not eating. So I would imagine that, yeah, he's very thin.
I love Bird.
Maybe we can't wait, we can't waste Mr. Jamelli for Tony Jeopardy. We already have Kodzi, one superstar.
I don't know. You bring in Mr. Jamelli. You bring in Kodzi.
This ain't drunken recap. This.
But he's probably boring if he's not drunk. Here's the rub.
Well, that's why they call me Kodzi.
All right. What do we got coming up, Bridge? What do you want to do?
You know what? Let's get a little bit into... I know what happened. There's a news reporter who did one of the most ridiculous ways of getting kicked out of an arena.
Yeah, it's weird. All right. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Somebody said, I tweeted something out very quick. Once again, Kodzi making his in-studio debut. He will be here on Thursday for another edition of Townie Jeopardy. And I said that who else should be the other contestants for Townie Jeopardy? And Bird is in last place with 14%. 20% is guy with the Everett tattoo. 25% Nora, Nick's dad, running away with it with 45%.
Well, you could have Nora and Nick's dad.
You could have Nora and Nick's dad, but somebody said you got to find Nicky Knuckles. If Nicky Knuckles is anywhere to be found from the Drunken Bruins recap, the guy who wanted to teach Anderson how to play hockey, then you got to get him in.
I think that you're satisfied with Kodzi at that point. I think that Kodzi's enough. And then Nora can actually drive herself in. It is a somewhat responsible human being.
Yeah, picture of Nora with David Pasternak, and people are saying that you have ruined him, that Nora has ruined David Pasternak.
So, by taking a photograph of
taking Pasternak. A photograph with him, yes. So.
By getting engulfed in Pasternak's handsome looks?
I guess so. Real quick, just this is a very strange story. First of all, Kevin Durant just needs to get the hell off of social media. Like, he was a guy, do you remember how a couple months ago he was busted for having a burner account?
Yes.
And he was tweeting things about how, you know, he was always disrespected, and it ended up being that it was him talking about himself. Well, apparently he liked an Instagram post that somebody put where they said that Westerbrook, they said the problem with the team, the Orlando or the Oklahoma City Thunder team, was that Westbrook was subpar. They had a good team, but Westbrook was subpar, and Kevin Durant liked it, and now he's saying that he accidentally did it. You're telling me the guy spends that much time on social media and accidentally likes something.
And then, okay, who put it up there?
It was a comment under somebody's post. So he's, like, searching posts.
So even if he did it by accident, he's searching posts on Westbrook. This is a multimillionaire guy at the top of his game who's favored to win a title.
Yep.
And this is how, social media.
And the dude can't escape it. He can't stop
because it's
searching for his own name.
Because that's no, I accidentally liked it. That's not an excuse. The thing is that Kevin Durant sits down and looks and scrolls around and searches for Westbrook's name and scrolls around and looks at all the comments. I mean, what a maniac.
You know what?
When can you be happy?
Real quick.
If he's not happy, who can be happy?
Real quick. 617-779-0985. Have you ever tweeted something about a celebrity that was critical and then they ended up contacting you or tweeting you back, yelled at you? Because I don't know how much money it takes for you to stop caring about that. Because I've seen this happen before where you've got these guys, like, why are you... Like, even Mark Cuban will, like, pick fights with guys. Like, what are you doing? You're worth billions of dollars.
That's Kevin Smith before pre-social media had this, like, message board that he was all about. And then the message board said that I was making fun of that movie of his that sucked, Jersey Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when he got so mad at me. Because he was sitting around on a message board all day.
He said he was going to get you fired. I remember
that. He said he was going to buy the radio station.
That Kevin Smith money.
So, yeah, with that Kevin Smith money from Clerks, the best acted film of all time. By the way, this...
Clerks is okay.
Clerks is fine.
Yeah, Clerks is okay. Mallrats is better.
Clerks is fine, but the main actor in that cannot act.
at all.
Which one, Dante or the one who talks like this, who is the comic relief?
Dante.
Okay.
Yeah, Dante can't act.
Yeah, neither one really
it's very distracting.
All right, have you ever posted something on social media and had the person, the celebrity
probably
that you were tweeting about?
I've done it a million times.
Like, actually get back to you and yell at you.
And I felt like an idiot every time after. I'd wake up the next morning and feel like an idiot.
It amazes me. Like, no amount of money can keep these people from not caring anymore.
If you're Kevin Durant, get over the Westbrook stuff.
You won a title.
I mean, you have private plane money. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, Jimmy Hayes blocked me on Twitter when he started sucking for the Bruins.
I have a feeling that happened a lot. I have a feeling Jimmy Hayes blocked a lot of people on Twitter. Let's go to George. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
A few years ago, almost like 10 years ago now, when Ilya Kovalchuk went to Russia, Jeremy Roenick was bashing him about wanting to take the money in Russia, then finish his contract with the New Jersey Devils. I did a little research and started bringing up all these articles of all the teams that he hopped around to, including a New York Times article, and he basically lost his mind on me and started tweeting back in all caps until I pulled out the New York Times article, and everybody else kind of got on my back after that.
Now, Roenick went and found a guy, right?
Roenick did. I think that's the story.
Went to his house, right?
They actually, like, found out where the guy... I don't know if he found out where he was, but there was a back and forth where do you live? I'm going to come to your house.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he actually ever followed through with that. He did call a guy.
But that is the fantasy. The fantasy is, like, going to a guy's house.
Because if you see Roenick at your door, you're going to crap yourself.
If you see anybody at your door, you're going to crap yourself. If someone who you've been bashing... Like, you've just been bashing and bashing and bashing, all of a sudden shows up to your door. I don't care if it's Vern Troyer when he was alive. You're going to freak out. Your first instinct's not going to be like, I'm going to kick this guy's ass.
Somebody's tweeting me and said, Dan Roach blocked me when I poked fun of him. I wrote him a nice email and he unblocked and then followed me. The best guy.
Jesus. James, go ahead.
Yes, a lot. John Bones Jones, the fighter, I tweeted him one day and I said, oh, you got busted because you didn't realize there was steroids in your cocaine. And he was going back and forth with me for like a while. Michael Rappaport is probably the most, he will go after you all day if you make a comment about him. And then one day on Instagram, I just do random hashtags to catch attention, and I hashtagged Warren Sapp, who got all mad that I hashtagged his name, private messaged me, and then blocked me the next day.
See, if you private message someone, even I know that
you're going to get, it's going to get printed.
Yeah, they're going to just screenshot.
Of course.
BK, go ahead.
I messaged Paula Deen one time on Twitter, and I said, these banana strawberry pancakes that I made look like Paula Deen's breasts. And she actually blocked me about 5 minutes after I put that up.
That's really kind of weird in a lot of ways. My God.
Paula Deen, not much of a sense of humor. You're getting a lot of Kurt Schilling replied to me on Twitter.
Well, yeah, Schilling's a maniac.
Yeah.
Who else did something like that? Oh, who was like Schilling?
Schilling used to, I mean, Schilling.
No. There was another like nut. And I'm like, wow, he's just like Kurt Schilling. Ah, now it's going to torture me.
And there's very few people who can turn that into an art and not look bad. Like, because you almost always look bad if you're the celebrity and you're tweeting back. It's just, in the end, you do. Unless you're Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is so damn funny with his replies, and he's so good at insulting people that he's almost worth a follow. Do you remember when it was like Gladiator Games after the Patriots lost to the Broncos? It was the Brock Osweiler game. And boy, did Shannon Sharp just start peacocking and just started ripping into people. And like, he would click on the pictures and make fun of their faces. And we had him on, and he was so good at insulting people that even like people who got ripped on were like, oh, I got to respect the guy.
Yeah. So, Schilling doesn't count because he's a maniac. I mean, he's an unbridled idiot.